want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 365, recorded live on August 20th, 2014. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat, with
Daryl W. Four,
Scott Burke, Sam,
Steve.
That was actually Steven's ad invitem. You can join our chat room.
Yes. I got none of that.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com, go find it. And yes, that cup of coffee I just had 10 minutes ago just kicked in. So this is good, because otherwise I was talking like Eeyore. Good stuff. Lots of stuff this week, folks. We had a lot of fun. Just tons and tons. Matter of fact, I think that's going to be the bulk of what we're going to be talking about tonight. A whole lot of geocaching going on. And I had some really, really good adventures. Just a high, quick flyby at 10,000 feet. Did manage to get all 8 of the 7 souvenirs of August. Well, sort of. On the weekend, all one day, with wife Amy, had a great time. We just had a blast, but exhausted. Holy cow, we were tired when everything was done. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Daryl, how about yourself? Anything?
I've done a bunch of it, but we'll save most of it for later on. My big thing now is I got to get prepped for Helios 6, the Ingress Anomaly that's happening in Detroit this weekend.
Now, give a picture of this, because this is huge. They're taking over. Ingress is taking over what? Countries, cities, I mean, the universe? What?
Well, they have. This is a competition style when they do these anomaly events. And I've never been part of one. I've just heard the little bits and pieces. So I'm probably not the best person to really describe it. But we get a list of the portals that are going to be measured. And then they give us the measurement times. And at those times, they'll check those portals and see who has what. And there's like 100 different portals that we have to control and maintain and all that kind of stuff.
How many people actually get involved in this?
A couple hundred. We have over 100 just on our team alone.
Men.
I'm just saying.
No. Zero women.
Zero women.
Actually, believe it or not, there's a lot of women who play.
Shorty Nitz will be so excited. I'm sure she's very upset she's missing it. I think she created 2 over the weekend.
Well, yeah, she missed the Chicago anomaly by a couple of weeks, I think. But yeah, unless you're at least a level 7, my understanding is the anomalies just don't really work for you, so you have to be, you know, a very experienced player before it really makes sense to even try to participate. Of course, you can always go and hang out and have fun, but you know, you're playing with a bunch of 8 and up players.
Would you really have fun there?
I don't know. I'll tell you next week.
Yes, this is what it's going to be like as he does it.
You're going to have a whole bunch of people doing this. Staring at their phones.
Wait, get it right.
Just tapping.
Get
their
it right. A bunch
tap,
of
tap,
tap, a tap. Bunch of males
capture,
doing
deploy,
that.
Capture, deploy.
No, around here, I would say it's at least 40% female. I see actually playing.
See, it's me. I'm like level 5. So anytime I try to take on a portal, it's like smacking your head on a brick wall for an hour and a half. It's loads of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is you'll see this weekend. The decay rates are changing, the attacks and everything. Everything, you know, all the physics of the game gets shifted around during one of the anomalies. So if you're wondering why that portal is easier to take out now than it was last week, That's why. And it's going to change after the anomaly.
Wow.
So it's only a day or two, I think, that they actually change stuff. That they'll also change what comes out of the portals when you hack. So, yeah, you'll notice a lot of changes in Ingress.
And so, Daryl, what level are you?
I'm level 10.
By the way. Of course you are.
And
hey, ladies, he's single.
It goes to 16.
So you better make this more than just an event with 40% with 40% women. You at least better make it a date night. Come on.
Yeah,
I know. Dress up.
The problem
is, take a shower before you go.
At least around here, most of them are married.
Of course they
and
are.
And that's what Never they mind. Call a pub crawl. We'll get into that later. Scott, save me.
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
Save me.
Hey, it was International Geocaching Day. Did everybody get an icon? Did everybody get that souvenir, by the way? Yeah, I went to an event that day and got my souvenir. I cached a little afterwards. But it was nice because that was my final icon for McHenry County. No, what happened was McHenry County did a geo tour, and they said if you got all, during the month of August, if you got all six icons in McHenry County, you also got another coin aside from the geo tour coin. So I went to that. That was my final, my final icon was the event that I needed in McHenry, so I got it, and
yeah, we're going to be talking about GeoTours really nice. Extensively in about 3 weeks. So around, I think it's September 17th or so, we're going to all be taking a good investigation on that, which I'm looking forward to because WV Tim's, I don't think, actually was a Geo Trail. So I'm going to see what we have in North Carolina and check that out. Corey, how about yourself?
Yeah,
Yes, I'm getting it ready right now as we speak. I'm sorry, everybody who's listening to this right now. Because I just want to show you all. I don't know if you can see that because I can't see me. There it is.
Corey is a premium member.
Corey is premium.
If you don't have video, he's just holding up a big post-it notes with lots of colors that says Corey is premium.
Yes.
Did you pay?
Oh, my gosh. I will tell you what. We could do a whole podcast on all the benefits of being premium because I was hating it. Oh my goodness. It was like almost like I couldn't cash because I wasn't premium. It was stifling. I felt choked up and
well, we actually can put you up as a host name again.
So I spent the whole weekend.
We can actually put you back on the website as a host because you're premium again.
Did you really take me off? Just a big old
black spot there. It
off
was great.
My face.
Big X through it. It was great. All right, let's move on. We got enough other goodies to get talking about. Let's see the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. What's coming up this week, Daryl, on Geo Gearheads?
Well, we're going to take a little detour off of geocaching topics this week with what should be a really interesting show, a guy by the name of Shakespeare, who's a host of the 3D Printing Today podcast, is going to come on to talk about 3D printed maps.
Scott, just keep it there, man. Keep it there. No, that sounds really good. Actually, I'd be kind of interested in that, and I also want to know how you fold them. So
that's one of my questions, too, because okay. I know I did a test call with him yesterday.
Andy, that's Eric. That's,
and
wait, what? Fold what? What do you fold?
3D printed maps.
Yeah, you know what a 3D printer is, right? Okay, for the people that don't know, basically what happens is you can digitally create in a computer a 3D object, just like you would with 3D, 3D imaging. And then you put it through a 3D printer, which takes this large blob of, what is it, wax, paraffin, something?
Well, it's plastic. It's using resin off of a roll. It's like, it looks kind of like the thread from your trimmer, lawn trimmer.
Anyways, right. I'm too close for my beeper. I can't even hit my button, so be careful there, Mr. Scott. It's really cool. What it'll do, it'll literally make any type of object that you can get a 3D image of, it will recreate it. So if you imagine a plastic map, how do you fold it? So that's my question.
And this guy is taking the LiDAR scan data, the actual real-life scans of like mountains in Yosemite and printing out the, you know, the full topo detail, so he knows where the trails are when he's out backpacking. And,
really?
You know, he was showing me one yesterday that I think he said took something like 3 or 4 days to print, and it's like 8 different pieces that he's glued together so far. Wow. So, good yeah, stuff. Some really off-the-wall amazing stuff.
Has he done one of his head yet?
He's done pig heads.
If you know Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist, the son yes. of Ahmed was actually the actual head for the puppet for the son of Ahmed, mm-hmm. or Ahmed the terrorist, is a 3D printed head. That's what he used to actually create it. So, yeah, cool stuff when you do that thing. All right, so that's GeoGearheads tomorrow, folks. A good episode. I'm going to be looking forward to that, too. Unfortunately, I'm going to be a little busy with the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, which comes on just before the GeoGearheads. And tomorrow night, we are going to do a he said, she said version of what is geocaching tomorrow. We've had several requests for people to talk about geocaching basics, new geocachers coming in, wanting to know about geocaching, and we wanted to come up with a kind of a unique perspective of how to inform people about what geocaching is from a he said, she said perspective. So if you're curious about that, stop on by to the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast tomorrow and find out. So good stuff. Moving on to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers, I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, are you working on earning the 7 souvenirs of August? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that about 95% of cachers are working on unlocking the Achiever souvenir, and many have it already. So here's what we heard. Dave on Google+ said, yes, just need an event. If I don't make it to the one I'm planning to go to on Saturday, I'm hosting one on the 31st. Well, ValleyEggs47 on Twitter said, I had everything planned out, just had to travel 1 hour for the event. Got them all in one day, number 359. Wow, good job. Well, James on Facebook shared, already done way back on the 2nd and had a 9-icon day and the bargain. Well, that sounds like fun. Well, Claire on Facebook had an interesting different point of view that was shared by a few others. She said, nope, souvenir schmouvenir. It isn't my favorite art form. It just reminds me of clip art, and it never makes me think of caching. Well, my husband and I planned a little trip recently to pick up the last handful that we needed. We were successful and finished just as the sun was setting with a nice hike on the Spokane River for an earth cache. Then dinner out to celebrate. I ended up coming in at number 13,556. So we really enjoyed hearing about the 7 souvenirs of August, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I was actually quite surprised. Daryl, do you have a quick way of looking up to see where they're at now? Because I actually finished the 7 souvenirs on Saturday, and it was like 18,638. And I was surprised because I didn't think it was past 20 or, you know, past 12 when we were first talking.
Well, I know last week we were close to 15 or 16 when we did the recording. I can't remember exactly where we were.
Right.
But people wrapping up on Sunday were posting that they were over 25,000.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
And as right this moment, there are 29,172.
Wow. All right.
Wow. I think I'm in the upper 8,000.
So. Yeah, but I'm beginning to wonder at this point if we're going to break that 100,000 mark with the 7 souvenirs, or if we're going to be sub 100,000. And one of the big questions that's been coming up is, will we see like a slowdown for the next week or so as people who have gone and made the effort have completed it, and then we're going to see this real big pickup at the end. So, you know, it's going to slow down and then ramp up, and everyone's like, "Ooh, it's, you know, the last day or two. I've got to go and get these last ones." Or is it just going to taper off entirely?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because actually, I'm surprised. I mean, to even the thought of 100,000 to me was when we were first starting off with this. I was thinking 20,000 tops for the month. I really didn't think it would push the way that it's gone so far. So that's impressive.
Oh, I figured we were going to definitely break the 50,000 mark. I didn't know that they were going to even share with us the numbers. But my original thought was it was probably going to be somewhere around that 100,000 mark, maybe a few more, because we do have a number of people this year, you know, because it's not as strict as the 31 days where you only need six caches all month.
Right.
I think we had a number of people who were going to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go and try to do this. I'm going to really make the effort and pull it off, even if it's not something that they go for. You know, most cashers I know don't really care too much about the souvenirs, yet they're going for this one just because of the re-exploration of the different cache types. And it's easy, you know, a couple of weekends you can knock it out without even trying.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we're going to be looking for everybody's viewpoint about the seven souvenirs of August. What did you like? What you didn't like? What was your feelings with it compared to last year? Those type of things. You can either use our voicemail line for that or send it to headhardhat@geocachingpodcast.com. And just let us know, because we're going to compile all that information and we're going to have a show in 2 weeks about that. That's excellent. You know, so we had so much different geocaching things going on. Amy and I spent a good, I'd say, 14 hours or so geocaching on Saturday, and just had some really good stuff. So I thought with Daryl, with all the type of things that you had going, and Scott, I know a couple weeks ago you had a lot of geocaching stuff going on, I thought it'd just be a good thing to go over tonight some of the highlights of that we've done with geocaching over the past couple of weeks. Corey, how about yourself? Anything going on that comes right to mind, or you want one of us to start off?
You guys can start off.
Oh, but Corey's premium now.
Yes, he is. I was going to say, man.
Big man. Big man.
I'll tell you one. Absolute epic fail. I can't wait, because I put the vlog out on Sunday for the what wife Amy and I accomplished over the weekend. And in one day got the seven souvenirs plus the eighth with the International Geocaching Day. Major fail. Huge epic fail. My first monkey puzzle. Never did one before. Always wanted to build one. And for the folks that don't know what a monkey puzzle is, it's usually made out of PVC pipe, and think of it as a little labyrinth that both sides are locked down, top and bottom. There's a key lock that is put on the one side that you can open up that will get you to the log. The key is placed into the monkey cache. And the idea is to shake it around and move it and do whatever you need to do to eventually get the key through the labyrinth of the monkey puzzle, have it come out, and then unlock the padlock to sign the log. Sounds simple, right? Oh my God, we probably did a good quarter mile hike into a very, very dense woods, lots of briars. I'm in shorts. I don't even want to tell you what my legs look like. Lots of mosquitoes.
Why are you wearing shorts?
We're in North Carolina, man. It was like 92 degrees out with about 150 humidity. So
you go into the woods, you're wearing shorts.
I know,
you're
and
asking
I deserve
for
it.
You get
it,
whatever
and I got
you get.
So we go on this trail, and this thing is not like it's so far into the woods it doesn't matter. It was fluorescent orange, probably about, oh, I don't know, 3.5 feet long. It usually has a smaller outside set of smaller PVC tubing that you also have to manipulate the key through. Works like a handle, and I now know why they call it a monkey puzzle. Now, we went with four people. We went with a team that we've been geocaching with, the two Alexanders, very nice couple. And we actually met up at the event to do this, and they said, okay, well, we're going for the Achiever, too. Let's just go together. This one was a side one. We had already – this wasn't a planned one. It was just like, hey, this just came out. It was for an FTF. So we're all out there. We're going for it. You saw four grown adults going completely ape nuts with this, trying to get the key in. There was a travel bug inside, which did not help. Plus, they added little jingly things that in the inside of it. So there's no point of reference with the key. It's not like you can just shake, shake, there it is, shake, shake, there it is. Everything shattered, shaken and rattled inside. We were there for almost an hour. It's like, okay, I'm frustrated, you try. I'm frustrated, you try. And we just circled around with this thing as the mosquitoes drained us blind. So, yes, there is going to be a vlog,
and you,
Mr. Corey. There will be one, and it's funny as heck.
So, okay.
You know, I did one of those a couple of years. I did one of those a couple of years ago when in Denver, Colorado. I was up there for the day, and me and a cashier, Cody Dog 00, and Wyo crew from Wyoming. We met up in Colorado for the day and cashed all day. And the 12th hour of cashing, we had to get to a train, mind you. I was fighting a train, and here we are with this monkey puzzle, the last one of the day, and you know, it's. There's nothing worse when it's timed. When you're like, you know, you're waiting for a train and you know the train's coming and you got to get back to the train station and you're trying to get this thing out of this thing. And we did it. We finally got it out and got it on time. But yeah, it was literally a timed one where I was going to miss a train if I had to get this thing out.
The FTF just because it was so epic of us all trying. We tried our best. Now, with those, sometimes you hit it just lucky. You hit it just right, boop, it pops out, it goes. I think they actually glued it on the inside, and it's just had a camera to catch everybody as trying to get this.
There's no key in there.
Well, and when you're talking about the monkey puzzles, the ones I'm used to are actually the ones where it's a tube inside a tube thing where you have to kind of thread it out. So that one's not the typical monkey puzzle I'm used to. And I've seen those in all kinds of different configurations and sizes, and they always take me way too long.
The best one I've ever done, and I put it on Geocaching World, so it goes back a couple of years, Dirtbag Geocaching Society, large ammo box, had flashing lights on the outside of it when you picked it up, had that feeling when you're playing with, Scott, be nice, when you're playing a gaming console with a joystick and the joystick vibrates.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that well.
It vibrated when you picked it up and shook it around. There was stuff inside, lights going off, this machine gun sound going off. So this isn't exactly something you're going to do in the middle of a muggle area. It was beautiful, full of stuff, and the idea was to get one small – it wasn't a key. It was actually a small ball that unlocked the device. Everything was electronic in this thing. Beautiful piece of work. Best monkey cache I have ever seen. And no, I couldn't get that one either. So, yeah. But it's amazing the different type of things that you do for geocaching. Daryl, sure. What other goodies did you have this week?
Oh, I had a bunch of stuff going on this week. Saturday, I went and did the two caches before I had a whole bunch of other stuff going on, including the patron hangout where I got a tour of the block party from the Bad Cop. He took us around, show us what's going on before they actually started the block party.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lot different than when I had gone, so I'm not really sure what's new and different this year. But unfortunately, I didn't get a whole lot of feedback about what happened at the block party. Most of the people who went didn't even do the lab caches this year, so I don't really know, you know, how much of that's going on.
Man.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I always look forward to, is what is Groundspeak doing with the new features, because that kind of gives you an idea of where they're expecting things to go and what they're developing it for. So I kind of missed having that kind of feedback this year. But Sunday I went and did a whole bunch of, not like huge numbers, but a whole bunch of caches, because it was a birthday party for one of the local cachers, as well as being just a get-together. Including a CETO, helped one of the cashers I know do a couple of quality control checks on her caches placed for the birthday party. But really, the big thing for me this week was finishing up that series of Doctor Who theme caches. And it's the first time I've done a puzzle cache series like this. So I put out the first one, that Series 7 that I talked about previously. got some really good responses to it, decided that I was going to put out the other six in that series. And boy, does that get to be a whole can of worms that I didn't really expect. You know, I'm using Evernote. You know, Scott and I are going to be talking about that with the Bad Cop on a future episode of Geo Gearheads, too, using Evernote to keep track of stuff for your geocaching.
Oh, yeah.
But even with the Evernote, I was just mentally losing where, you know, I'd place this, that, and the next thing. I was, you know, working on these puzzles, getting, you know, the different pieces of the puzzles crossed between. So it's not as easy as you might think after doing one of the series to do the rest of the series. And I was kept running into problems where this location's not available, this location. One of them, I had to try three different spots. Wow. Before I actually got working location. And, you know, it's a problem with being in a high-density area, and there's a lot of puzzles I haven't solved around here, and a lot of puzzles I solved, like, 5, 6, 7 years ago, where I didn't keep track of where the finals were. So I have no idea where some of this stuff is. And I'm putting caches out, and this is a good tip for anyone who's going to try any kind of cache, especially if you're looking for it to publish on a specific date. Talk with your reviewer ahead of time. The way that my reviewer likes to do it, and I understand this is the way most reviewers like it done now, you go ahead and create the cache page. Don't submit it for approval. Just create the cache page, get everything set up, email them, and ask, is this going to interfere with any kind of other puzzles or, you know, any other waypoints that you see? And if there's anything in the text that might be an issue, ask them about that as well. But do it ahead of time. The reviewers tend to work much better when you ask them about that kind of stuff rather than just submit it and hope that it works.
No, that's a good relationship.
Well, you did that whole series. You actually just put it out without even checking with the reviewer.
No, I talked with the reviewer on each one, and I've been going back and forth with him. I still haven't released all the caches of the series because I've been trying to release one a day leading up to the premiere this weekend. So, yeah, every day there's been another one of these blue box caches published.
How many are
so people are going a little nuts. Well, there's 7 in the series, and then if I can make it work, there's actually going to be an 8th one for the premiere that's not a puzzle cache, it's just a traditional cache. So that's going to be the one that publishes this Friday, and then Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember which it is when the premiere actually hits.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yes, Saturday night.
A lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and it's more puzzle caches than I've done before, but this is not that difficult a puzzle to put together because all I'm doing is collecting quotes from the show that are kind of interesting and unique. You have to go find that quote from that season of the show and match it up. You know, I even give in the hints the site that I use to do that, so it's quick and easy. And really what I find is the best way to do this is go through the quotes for each of the episodes from whatever fan site you want to use and make sure that you collect all of the quotes that you might possibly want to use for each of those numbers. And that way you can make sure that you're not going to have the same quote appearing twice. But that alone took me probably about 90 minutes per season.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of good quotes in the more recent Doctor Who's. Now, that said, Series 1 probably took me only about half an hour because there's not that many good quotes in that series.
Fair enough. Now, just out of curiosity, I know how down here people react with puzzle clashes. What kind of a response are you expecting?
Well, I've gotten some really great responses and more people doing these than I expected.
Oh, wow.
And I think a lot of it is that it is a nice, easy, you know, sit-at-home Google puzzle. You know, you go and you hit the, I'm using geocheck.org, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's .org, which unfortunately was down today. But people were just, you know, doing it, hitting it, and, you know, putting them on their list and going and hitting them whenever they wanted to. And they are loving, you know, I guess so many great comments on this series. They love the containers on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even Obeep talked about that one because they're fans as well. So that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I have to say that it was between Mark from OBEEP and Scott here that forced me to finally check out Doctor Who.
You were assimilated into the Whoism.
Yes.
It's a great container. I've actually found one of those, not yours personally, but I've actually found one in the wild out here in Chicago. And they're great caching containers. It's even got a little like spot where you can put the log.
Oh yeah, they're great containers. I found them for under $10, so it wasn't cheap to put the series out, but it's not that expensive. A lot of people who are doing the 3D printing are printing their own TARDIS containers. And when I was talking with Shapespeare last night, he said, yeah, there's a ton of TARDIS models out there if you want to go printing one. But
Did you buy him in Detroit, or did you get him?
No, I mail ordered. I'll put in a plug for Think Geek because that's actually where I got them from.
Did you get it from Think Geek?
It's free shipping on orders over X amount, and then you get the 10% off coupons on a regular basis for them. So they were actually cheaper than anyone else I could find to get these emergency money keychain, TARDIS keychain holders, is I think what they're called.
Wow. They're like, this guy's getting 10 of them. What the hell is this guy
doing? Now, just out of curiosity,
Darryl, it's Doctor Who. I'm sure they're used to it.
Oh, yeah. Do me a favor tomorrow. What I would be curious with that is they do the 3D printing of the TARDIS. What I would be curious is how do they weatherproof it after that?
We actually talked about some of that on some of the earlier shows, and the way that they typically do that is they'll put a little bayonet cover on the bottom. So you have to line it up, lock it in, and that generally does a pretty good job of weather sealing. But if you're in an area that needs a little bit better, tighter seal, then what you'll – or sometimes they'll even do the screws, but that, depending on your printer, might not work so well. Mm-hmm. So the bayonet mounts tend to work a little bit better. But they'll actually put a little rubber ring, kind of like what you'd find on some of the Bison-style tubes, or you can use rubber washers off the hardware store, and just put those in there for your weathertight seal.
Scott?
Yeah, nothing. There is one 3D printed cache in my area, and I've actually found it, and it was not weatherproofed at all. It was, the log was wet.
Well, I'd be curious if it's made out of the plastic that they sculpt this with. How do you keep it to withstand the heat and such?
Well, it's an ABS plastic, so it is a durable plastic. It's the plastic from like the Tonka trucks, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to have issues. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the plastic in general is, you do not want to use the white plastic at all. Okay. And that stands, or clear plastic. If you're using the white plastic filament, fishing line kind of stuff, if you're using it in white or in clear, that stuff will turn brittle and crispy in the sun a lot faster than like the green or yellows and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the coloring, for some reason, does seem to help it. And if you're look around, you can actually, in some cases, find UV-resistant plastics, and they're usually like a reddish-brown color.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. All right, guys, we're starting to get on the long side. Corey and Scott, any interesting caches recently you'd like to discuss?
Not really. I was in West Bend a couple weekends ago, and got a couple hundred, a great time. Daryl, you missed another pilot.
I'm sure I was going to say there's just too many caches in West Bend that Scott can't even remember them. It's just a blur.
Literally, I did so many. It's literally a big blur. If you asked me to point one out, I probably couldn't do it because I found so many caches that day. That weekend, actually. I was there for the weekend. But it was a great time. We found over 200. It was great. Hit 11,000.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. finally crossed over 11,000. Mm-hmm.
Corey, anything on your end?
No, I would like to continue on with my 7 souvenirs of August, but I'm on my third DNF of Maltese so far. So I've got to find another multi that I can get through all my stages.
Problem with,
so dude, find
problem with waypoints missing?
Don't you have any two-stage multis out there? Two-stage multi. Two-stage.
I haven't found a two-stage multi yet.
No, I actually had an interesting one Saturday that I've never run across for a multi-cache. You've heard of water caches before, where the idea is you bring a gallon or two of water in, you fill up a PVC tube, and something floats up, and hopefully it's the container that you're looking for. But the idea with this one, when it happened, it had multiple branches off the main PVC pipe. The camo job on this thing was perfect. It was probably about maybe 3.5-4 feet long, nice 3-inch PVC pipe. So it was good size. And of course, you needed two people at least to do this thing. The cool thing was the part that popped up did not come out of the cache itself, so it actually lifted probably about 3-4 inches off the top when you're done. And the instinct is that you pull it out, and that's what your container is, and you open it up and go from there. It was actually designed not to pull out, and the waypoint for your next waypoint was actually on the inside of that thread. So you didn't have to open it up. It was right near the top of the cap of it. So it lifted up, and boom, that's your next waypoint to go with that. So that's the first time I've ever seen it used quite like that. So kind of cool. All right, guys. Well, we're running just right here, and I want to thank Dale W4 and Scott Burks and Corey Stevens for all the good stuff there. We want to thank you fine folks for stopping on by and checking out the Geocaching Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Again, feedback from our viewers for the 7 souvenirs of August, please either email it into headhardhead@geocachingpodcast.com or use our voicemail line. Let us know what you thought this year of this. Did this encourage you to go out and try new types of geocaches? Was it better than the 31 days of geocaching, and why? Those type of things. We'd love to get that information so that we can use it in the show in the next couple of weeks. All right. We want to say thanks to Lisa from cache-advance.com for everything you do. Thank you so much, Lisa. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Heart Hat production and is produced by Daryl Wattenberg and Andy Smith. This show is copyright 2014 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.